called me a liar on national TV?
Let's not do it right now. You want to have that discussion? We'll have that discussion. You called me. You told me. All right, let's not do it now.
I don't want to get in the middle, but I just want to say hi, Bernie.
Yeah, good.
Okay. You could think this was oftentimes things caught on hot mic are just kind of fun and, ooh, they didn't know we were listening and that's about it. But
right.
There might be some depth to this Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren thing. So the day before the debate, in the 48 hours before the debate, Elizabeth Warren threw a couple of haymakers to try to get some attention.
Mm-hmm.
One being the announcement of, on day one, I will erase all student debt when I'm president. You can't do that in 100 different ways.
Right.
But fine, go ahead and say that if you want. And then the CNN broke the story. Okay, that's the official version.
Right.
CNN broke the story that in a conversation between Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders told Elizabeth Warren a woman can't get elected president.
Right. Which, according to virtually everybody who's not on CNN, would be a bizarre thing for Bernie Sanders to say. He's the wokest of the woke candidates in a lot of ways.
Well, and it's an unsourced CNN person that broke the story. We have a source that says.
Right.
Okay, was
but everybody's agreed it's a staffer, right? A Liz Warren staffer?
Well, a lot of people are wondering, was it Elizabeth Warren herself that started this whole story? And got it going from there. So CNN has the debate 24 hours later after CNN breaks this story. And, of course, they ask the question about it. And Bernie had already said, being asked by reporters before the debate, no, I never said that.
Mm-hmm.
Elizabeth says, yes, you did. Bernie Sanders is asked on the debate stage.
Senator Warren confirmed in a statement that in 2018, you told her that you did not believe that a woman could win the election. Why did you say that?
Well, as a matter of fact, I didn't say it.
So I like the way she phrased that. Elizabeth Warren confirmed. It reminds me of the Steele dossier. So
oh, yes.
You leak the thing yourself, and then the same person who leaked it confirms it.
Yeah.
What does that even mean?
And then, it's worth noting, the FBI says we have it from two sources.
But so CNN says to Bernie Sanders, did you say, brings that up, Bernie says, I didn't say that. Then they immediately turn to Elizabeth Warren.
What did you think when Senator Sanders told you a woman could not win the election?
and the crowd erupts in laughter at how bizarre and inappropriate that phrasing was, given Bernie's unequivocal answer.
The obvious journalistic way to handle that is, if you want to get into that, he said, she said,
right,
that there's no way to work out. But if you feel like you need to do it, you say to Elizabeth Warren, well, you just heard Bernie Sanders. He says he did not say that. Your response. And let her say whatever she's going to say.
Right.
But you, as the moderator, don't say, how did you respond?
Or how did you feel when he said that?
So we had Mark Halpern on yesterday, who's one of the best political pundits out there, wrote the book How to Beat Trump, but brought it up with him. So CNN says to Bernie, did you say to Elizabeth Warren, a woman can't be president? He said, no, I did not. Then they turn to Elizabeth Warren and say, what did you think when he said that to you? What?
it's not just CNN. I've read probably 100 newspaper and print stories about this. The New York Times says things like Warren confirmed that Sanders said it. You know, she didn't confirm it. Four of her aides put out this story. If she was so outraged about this alleged statement, why has she been sitting on it until 2 weeks before Iowa? It's because she's desperate. It's because she feels the reality that she's got to get over Sanders. And as you said, CNN, who broke the story, is treating it like it's true,
right,
when there's no reason to believe it's true. And look, Bernie Sanders, the notion, as he said, that he would say such a thing to his friend in a private meeting 2 years after Hillary Clinton practically won, it's ludicrous on the face of it. But also to treat her version as gospel truth and his version as false, it's just bad journalism.
Just bad journalism from CNN.
Or CNN deliberately backing Liz over Bernie, which a lot of people think is true. And listen, I want to get to that because there's some pretty compelling evidence, including what you just heard. But it just struck me in listening to that. Number one, you've got a far left Democrat who is alleged to have said a woman can't win. If he said that, I would assume, and I feel pretty confident in this, his reasoning would be because America's too sexist. There's still too much misogyny. So that would be a good, solid, progressive talking point. And we're supposed to be outraged that Bernie suggested a woman would have a tough time getting elected when Hillary Clinton has been banging the drum up until the present day saying she didn't get elected because she was a woman. That was the only reason, misogyny and the Russians, she didn't get elected. And she's praised and worshipped for that. So which one is the unspeakable among you progressives, that a woman can't get elected or that a woman can? Which one am I not so allowed to say?
Well, as Mark Halperin said, there's no reason to believe it's true.
Oh, no.
There's no reason to believe it's not true, but it's completely a he said, she said. So when you have a situation like that, you don't get to go with, as CNN and the New York Times did, the assumption that she's telling the truth, which in effect is saying Bernie's lying about that.
Yeah.
And as he said in his answer, he said, there are YouTube videos going back 30 years of me saying a woman should be president and could be president. So,
yeah, that doesn't mean anything. A lifetime of consistency.
So CNN, or Bernie took on CNN a while back and has in a variety of ways over the years.
And most recently, over a huge union dispute that cost CNN tens of millions.
So there's some belief that CNN, high up, has got it in for Bernie and doesn't like him.
Well, Jeffrey Zucker, who runs CNN, according to Tucker Carlson, despises Bernie for a couple of different reasons. And he runs CNN with a heavy hand. He is the director of it. And, yeah, Bernie, a couple of weeks ago, when CNN had to pay out, I think it was $76 million in a union labor dispute, Bernie tweeted, congratulations to the amalgamated CNN workers of America on getting justice, finally! And Zucker reportedly went nuts. And so now, and I tell you, if I'm wrong, prove me wrong, it sure looks like CNN is just gunning for Bernie.
Well, CNN, the moderator saying, how did you feel when Bernie told you that? That is
Denied it?
That is astounding. And again, the audience laughed. Like, that's hilarious.
Yeah, I know. That's so great.
What a weird thing to do.
Well, listen, I almost feel bad kicking CNN at this point because they've become such a joke. The CNN of the shock and awe and the Iraq war and the first cable news channel and Ted Turner and the rest of it, that is as dead as George Washington. I mean, that dead and gone. And so it's just a joke. It's a jokey cable network at this point. But because of their old rep, they're chosen to host not one, but multiple presidential debates.
Oh, and I didn't even mention this. So I watched the CNN post-debate coverage. All the panelists felt like Elizabeth Warren just mopped the stage with Bernie on that exchange.
Yes.
Well, Elizabeth sure got the best of that exchange. Bernie just destroyed. That's not the way it looked to me.
Right.
It was a draw at best. And you got this. Bernie's got zero history of making crap up. Elizabeth's got like five major things she's lied about in her life. The whole being an Indian thing. The whole I was lactating while I took the bar exam. First person in history. Nah, that they've been allowing women for 200 years. The I got fired from my job because I was pregnant. Nah, you turned down the contract. It's in the records.
Right.
I mean, she's made up some major things.
There was a whopper last week that she'd tell so many, I can't remember what it was.
There are none of those out there for Bernie. So just on the face of that, you got to take Bernie's side of this story.
Yeah.
It's possible that she completely manufactured this out of whole cloth, leaked it to CNN. CNN's on her side. They stated it in the debate as if, obviously, she's telling the truth. Then she walks up to a microphone right next to the side of it after the debate. Bernie, you called me a liar on TV to keep the story going.
Yeah, I could believe that.
That might be what's happening. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't actually know.
Well, she's desperate. She was up, she was down, she was up, she was down. Now she has just clearly not differentiated herself. And so she's taking those, Julian Castro desperation shots, the Hail Marys. It's actually pretty damned amusing.
You take in the progressive Twitter sphere. Who feels like is telling the truth in this? Do you have a sense of that, or is it split? Or
telling the truth from each camp? I think it's one of those. I think both sides believe they are relaying the conversation accurately. I think there's some flaws in human memory. I think there was probably more nuance to the actual conversation that happened, and it wasn't as blatant as a woman can't win. It's probably, it would be harder for a woman to win. That's my read of the situation.
Bernie, it's because he gestures so much and it's very distracting. Wait, he waves his hands more than Trump.
Didn't know.
More than Beto used to. I assume he still does. I just don't see it, thank God. But maybe she was distracted. Bernie said, I'm afraid a woman can't be elected. And she remembered it differently.
How about that?
Whatever. But her purpose is not, here's a funny thing. A couple of years ago, Bernie Sanders said something to me I found curious. No, she's trying to tar him with it.
Well, right.
She's using it as a weapon.
As Halperin said, she sat on it until 2 weeks before Iowa and a couple of days before a debate.
Because freaking Bernie and his well-known misogyny. It's just so desperate. And the fact that desperate CNN has crawled into that same rancid sleeping bag with her is just too yummy for me.
Sleeping bag.
I just love it.
There's no
cuddle up, Zucker. Cuddle up, Elizabeth.
There's no defending the journalism of the way they phrased that question to Elizabeth.
No. Just well, no the defending. Crowd erupted in spontaneous laughter. I'd say that's a pretty good indictment.
That's the only thing about the whole thing that gives me hope is that the crowd instantly recognized what was happening.
Yeah, yeah.
Well,
CNN, you suck!
I think a child would figure that out.
You suck!
Why did Bernie not want to engage her there on the stage? Just because it'd be weird?
It would be weird, and he knew there were hot mics.
Yeah, one of them clearly wanted to have the conversation with hot mics. The other one did not.
Does that say something?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Because hilarious. He wanted to discuss it over dinner with her.
Because you believe there's sexual tension.
I do.
Michael, you have a great thermometer for that sort of thing. Oh,
they're doing it.
Oh, poor.
It's just like Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper. You can see it right there.
Oh, man.
It's the exact same sort of thing.
Just like that.
Armstrong and Getty.
Jeopardy's greatest of all time tournament is over, and in the end, Ken Jennings won 3 games, James Hallhauser won 1, and Brad Rutter didn't win any. Yep, Rutter is one of the Jeopardy's all-time greats, and now everyone looks at him like, idiot.
True.
Mentioned last hour, Neats. It's a hot new thing. It's hot in Japan, and it's obviously hot in the United States, too, or growing. Neats, it's an acronym. Not in education, employment, or training. It's like, I'm not even trying. I don't have a job.
I'm not doing anything.
And I'm not trying to figure out how to get a job.
Right.
Neats. Now, it started in Japan when they had a 20-year-long recession. God, if you're old enough, there was a period when Japan was going to take over the world, and we all should learn how Japan does it, because they're buying all our buildings, and they're taking over everything, the economy.
To even question that conventional wisdom was to be mocked.
Right.
Right.
And
then it was the next week.
Then they went into a 20-year recession. You talk about recessions, 20-year-long recession. And that's when Neats first got started, is just there were no jobs. So you had people, there were no jobs. And there is no reason to think you could get a job by, like, learning this skill or something. So people just didn't even try. Well, now these are neo-Neats through the 2000s. The economy has recovered, but neo-Neats, for whatever reason, and they're still looking into that, and you might have one living in your basement that got a degree at a university. I don't know. But the neo-Neats, they're not self-supporting, really. They live on parents or programs or friends or whatever, but they're not in education, employment, or training. Neo-Neats. And I'm going to work.
Sebastian Younger, in his fabulous book Tribe, made a great point about how a lot of folks who believe in a very generous safety net hammock site, like Indian tribes and tribal societies, because they all shared and shared alike, partly because it was impossible to accumulate wealth because a lot of times they were nomadic. But what's always left out of that conversation, which Younger reminded us of, is that anybody who did not contribute to the best of their ability was killed. Not told, listen, Jim, you really need to pull your weight. No, they would send them out of the tribe to die, or they would just actively put a hatchet in their head. So I, you know, listen, if you are of sound mind and body and you're one of these people, if you can find people to bail you out and feed you or whatever, that's none of my business. But you do not get a nickel of mine.
It's kind of interesting, though. Part-time jobs are okay for neo-neets. So it's, and he talks about how it takes a lot of self-confidence and a certain boldness to take on this lifestyle to vow, you know what, I'm never having a full-time job again. I'm just not doing it. And I'm not, like, worried about it, and I'm not going to try to figure out how to get one.
Okay.
And you just skate by on doing a job here and there and sponging off this person, and then maybe this works out, and you just kind of float on through.
Yeah.
Without the stress and the responsibility of the full-on career.
See, I don't hate people like that. It sounds kind of cool in a way. I don't have any problem with that unless they're coming for my stuff.
Right.
And my kids, you know, frankly, you know, you got me on the other hand, but then my two older kids are both working hard. I mean, they're in their crappy first couple of jobs where you bust your ass and you don't make any money. And they, in particular, one of my kids is freaking broke. And the idea that they pay state and federal and local taxes and the rest of it, and no, they don't pay a lot of it, but the idea that somebody else is getting a chunk of their money, even a little chunk, just pisses me off. So, you know, live that lifestyle, but don't come asking for anything. Anyway.
If you can pull it off.
You remember our challenge of yesterday? You have to drink a dozen beers a day or night for a month. And keep your job. At the end of it, you get $1 million.
I could have done it.
We worked our way through how doable that was. It wouldn't be easy.
No, it would not.
Here's one from a Magnus.
Because there'd be days you don't feel like drinking 12 beers.
You get 20 chances to make a half-court shot, basketball court. 20 chances. You make one, you win $20 million. You miss them all, you go to prison for 20 years.
What?
You heard me. Do you take the challenge?
20
shots for 20 million or 20 years?
No, I'm not doing that.
It depends entirely on your athletic ability, which takes some of the fun out of it. But I would do it.
On the beer thing, can I drink like 40 on the weekend and build up a couple of days where I can take the days off during the week?
No, that's cheating. Mm.
The Armstrong and Getty Show.
I think you called me a liar on national TV.
What?
I think you called me a liar on national TV.
Let's not do it right now. You want to have that discussion? We'll have that discussion. You called me. You told me. All right, let's not do it now.
I don't want to get Neil, but I just want to say hi, Bernie.
Yeah, good. Okay.
Yeah, good to see you too, Tom.
Get out of here, Tom.
How you been? How are your billions resting in the bank?
If she did start that in front of a hot mic on purpose, man, that is some, that's getting into it.
Well, she is a smart, calculating woman who is more than willing to throw an untruth or two around. So that does not stretch my credulity a bit.
Norm MacDonald.
And by the way, I'd thank you not to even touch my credulity without my consent.
Comedian Norm MacDonald tweeted, "They keep saying, can a woman win the presidency? Are these people living in the 1950s? If, or should I say when, a woman wins, think of how clean the White House will be, and it'll smell like chocolate chip cookies all day."
Norm! Norm! Oh, not funny! Oh, not appropriate!
God. Oh, my God. On the whole impeachment thing, it officially starts in the Senate today, and it's just kind of a lot of pomp and circumstances. They're going to officially swear in individually each senator, and they'll reread the articles of impeachment. And Justice John Roberts doesn't that. From the Dispatch wrote it this way about yesterday. After nearly a month of helicopter parenting the articles of impeachment against President Trump, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi has finally allowed them to leave the nest. So that is what happened. I didn't actually see the video, but you...
The march across the Capitol? Yes. I called it one of the lipstick on a piggiest moments of politics I've ever seen. They had all of these Congress half-wits with the most serious looks on their face they could muster hold the articles of impeachment in this big blue folder in front of them. and march solemnly through the Capitol with velvet ropes on either side, like they were walking toward the world's least popular nightclub. And they walked it ceremonially across to the Senate, where I'm sure they handed it to some staffer who said, yeah, thanks, I'll give it to Mitch. But it was funny because, you know, some of the people, I'm sure, are fine folks, but some of them, your Adam's Schiff and your Gerald's Nadler, are just, they're so nakedly partisan, they'll say anything. Adam Schiff was the guy who said, yes, in our classified briefing, we received unequivocal, undeniable evidence that the president is an agent of Russia. I mean, he practically said that. This guy lies repeatedly, reflexively. And so to see them in their solemn march across the Capitol was just hilarious.
We talked about that plane that dumped fuel on school kids.
Yes.
Outside of LAX. It's not clear yet why the pilots dumped the fuel on the school kids. They're still
prank.
They're still...
The one pilot's kid was getting pushed around to school. He said, I'll show them.
Yeah, huh? My dad can dump fuel on you while you're playing tetherball. So they're still investigating that. It seems like you'd be able to nail that down real quick, but they haven't yet.
When
you just ask the pilot, what does the investigation entail? Why'd you do that? And he's got to have an answer.
I pressed the wrong button.
Lawyer.
There's so many buttons in here.
My answer is lawyer.
Union lawyer.
That's pretty good.
Oddly enough, we got this note from Jason. Having had jet fuel dumped on me while I was waiting at a bus stop in Miami.
What?
I must say that the school kids and the adults' reaction to the brief jet A1 shower was sadly in keeping with the weakling mentality that characterizes most of our society today.
So he didn't think it was that big a deal?
He was a commuter student at Miami-Dade Community College, waiting at a municipal bus stop. Boeing 707 cargo jet took off from Miami International's flight path directly overhead. It was streaming excess fuel from its wingtips, the spare outmost wing fuel tanks. Seconds later, it was raining jet fuel at the bus stop, and though I took a good drenching and I stank, I just kind of went on with my day, changed clothes, took a shower, everybody was fine.
Hmm.
On the other hand, I don't think we need to coat little children with jet fuel and then tell them to toughen up, Jason.
So if, like, somebody was smoking a cigarette nearby or something, you just erupt in flames and have a fireball that, I mean, just horrific? Would it be like that?
I have no idea. I don't know. I would not like to be coated with jet fuel and have you try it.
Right.
I will tell you that.
And the White House would smell like chocolate chip cookies all day. That was his punchline.
Speaking of trying it, the more I think about it, I would do the 20 half-court shots for $20 million, but if I miss them all, it's 20 years in prison. I think I would take that.
Because I
spent so much time in high school and then mostly screwing around at college trying to make half-court shots. And I think I could make one out of 20.
How about with a 20-year prison sentence on the line?
It might tighten up your elbow a little bit.
A lot of those NBA players or college players can make free throws pretty good, too.
But
when it's, you know, 1 second on the clock and it's for the national championship and the crowd's going crazy, sometimes they miss.
On the other hand, I have nerves of steel. So I have that going for me.
God, and going to prison for 20 years is worse than we finished second.
Joe, I lack both the financial means to pay off the bet and the political connections to imprison you should you not meet your end of it.
Thank God.
But I would absolutely take you up on that. I think you'd need way more than 20. In 50, I think I'd probably start to think about not doing it.
Oh, no, I just need 20.
But if you don't make it in the first 10, you're going to start to clench up a bit, aren't you?
No,
20
I'm just
years
gonna
in
adjust.
Prison... Will I see my kids again? I might die in prison. That might be the rest of my life.
Well, see, these are the thoughts that cloud your head because you don't have nerves of steel.
That's right. I forgot you got NOS going for you.
Right. No, it's actually been diagnosed. I was at the doctor's office for a malady, and the place burst into flames, and I said, follow me, doctor. We'll go out this way. No, not that way. This way. And I walked out, and he paused in the parking lot, and he took out his stethoscope. He examined me. He said, you, sir, have nerves of steel.
So are you talking about, like, current you with two new hips and all that sort of stuff? Well, we got to get a gymnasium. Somebody offer up a gymnasium, and we got to pretend to do it.
I get to practice a little bit.
Well, practice leading up to it, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It still won't be the same, obviously, because you know you're not actually going to prison.
Well, right. Yeah, see, that is scientifically a bit of a flaw.
So I guess we gotta, like, do something to you.
How much bigger
punch
is
you in the throat or drop jet fuel on you or something?
How much bigger is an NBA court than, say, like, a high school or college court?
I thought they were the same.
It's not really the same, I think.
No, I know there's more room between the center circle and the free throw
line. I did not know that.
But not by a lot. I think there's a subtle difference. Well, anyway, yeah, see, that's the problem. Because I'm absolutely willing to take this on, but there's no way to replicate the terror of staring at a 20-year prison sentence.
NBA courts are 94 feet long. High school are 84.
I did not know that.
Yeah, so it's only 5 feet longer a half-court shot to keep me out of prison.
So, yeah.
I just put a little more oomph into
it. It'd be hard to replicate the fear because, okay, even at you haven't made the first 10. Now you got 10 to go. Okay, you got the nerves of steel, as you've mentioned. Well, you get down to that last couple. I don't think the last three or four are even worth talking about. Made it, and you got three to go, and you're staring 20 years into the dying in prison.
You would either have so much adrenaline you'd heave the ball into the stands over the hoop, or you'd have so much fear it would barely dribble out of your hands.
Or you're just laying in a puddle of your own urine with the ball next to your head.
With the last shot, you overhand baseball toss the basketball at the person you're making the bet against, and you just make a run for it.
Yeah, the last two shots, I think I can get to that door before they get to me.
I can get to the door, I've got a chance. There's sheriff deputies with shackles standing by.
I go to Mexico, I change my name.
I get plastic surgery, cheap Mexican plastic surgery. How much does that cost? Not much. You know, speaking of nerves of steel, another study has come out, Jack. This is one of your favorites. Your grip strength is an excellent indication of your overall health.
Mm.
All about the grip strength. And remember, we learned millennials have weak grip strength.
And Gen Xers have weaker grip strength than their parents.
Right.
It's been going that
steady decline. And I mean, you know, by, you know, the year 2030, you'll try to hold a pen. It'll just fall right out of your hand.
But you don't need to is the thing. You see,
or do you? It's an indication of your health.
How many mule teams have you driven compared to your great grandfather?
Let's see. One, two, three, none.
See, that's got a lot to do with it.
But if I had to, I could because of my nerves of steel.
Your great-grandfather, on the other hand, would just stare at a computer. And what is this?
Yeah.
They mock our grip strength, but who do they call when they need their passwords reset?
See, that's just snarky.
Armstrong and Getty.
This is the group on stage tonight. You can see this photo. It's so white, it just got nominated for Best Picture.
What did you think when Senator Sanders told you a woman could not win the election?
Who wrote these questions? Andy Cohen? It was freezing in Iowa with temperatures reaching 14 degrees. Democrats said they hadn't seen numbers that low since Bill de Blasio was in the race. It was so cold, all the candidates shrunk to the size of Pete Buttigieg. It was so cold, Joe Biden's teeth were chattering on his nightstand.
Who's that guy, Andrew Cohen? Andrew, I don't know who that was.
They were making fun of the, hey, so how did you feel when he asked that? Which is, I think he does a podcast something, and those are the sort of questions that he often asks.
Okay. But it was mocked. Oh, CNN's handling of that questioning was mocked by Stephen Colbert.
As well it should be.
Yeah, it certainly should be. Back to the Warren Sanders caught on mic thing that we've been playing all morning long. I thought this was interesting. Because I don't take in any CNN stuff, but I do take in a couple of MSNBC shows, and they didn't cover it at all. The thing about some journalists not wanting to talk about the Warren Sanders fight is an actual example of bias. It's giving away the game. The only reason not to talk about this obvious big deal thing is if your main concern is preserving the left vote and not covering the news. Because this is not a story on your anti-Trump news channels.
Yeah.
How's that not a story? And it's not, oftentimes these caught on mic things are just gossip. You know, he said something mean or whatever, or he used bad language or no, this is significant. Two of your main candidates tied for first place called each other liars. One of them is lying.
Right. Or misremembering or something, but the idea that you would just incidentally, off the cuff, tar Bernie with the allegation that he doesn't think a woman can or should be president, I mean, that's ridiculous. To even get those words to come out of your mouth, anybody, I would think, wow, this is big. This is a hell of a thing to say. I mean, so she did it deliberately, clearly. It's a big deal.
Yeah.
But, you know, listen, the newsrooms of America, including the big network ones, they're run by human beings. And human beings have enthusiasm, and they pick stories based on enthusiasm. And a story that's going to make either Bernie or Elizabeth look rotten, there's not a lot of enthusiasm in the newsrooms of America for that.
A lot of people think tase you if you can't make 1 out of 20 from half court. Since we can't send you to prison.
Wow. As a middle-aged guy with the high blood pressure, I could stroke out. I don't know.
Better make one, then.
If I was going to get...
then I would get my game on.
Going to tase the hell out of me.
God, my brother was going to tase our other brother at Christmas. And he was trying to convince him to let him do it. And everybody was involved. All the kids were just really hoping Uncle Joe would allow himself to be tased. Putting pressure on him the whole time we were there. Because my brother does security, walked into the Christmas thing. He had a gun, he had a taser, he had handcuffs, he had mace, he had all the weaponry.
Yeah.
And we got on the idea of, would Joe allow himself to be tased for our entertainment? And everybody was really putting the pressure on him.
Oh, my God.
Come on, Joe.
We all wanted to see it. You can do it.
I wish I'd been there. I would have told my co-named friend, stand strong, son. Stand strong. These animals. Have them tase themselves.
Henry even walked up and did this thing where he turns his head to the side. Please, Uncle Joe.
I tell you what, if I was going to get the hell tased out of
me... You having a good time, Joe?
I would be worried about that as I shot those shots. I don't know, that's an interesting idea.
So my brother Joe says, I'm not going to get tased. What if I drop dead or something? My brother with the taser said, look at you, thinking about yourself again. All these kids want to see you get tased, and all you care about is yourself.
That's a healthy family. You're talking it out. I like that.
Oh, God, that's funny. So if I told you I had something interesting about the Royals.
I couldn't leave fast enough.
And the whole Kate Middleton, Prince Harry thingy.
I would be surprised, but I believe you.
So there are some claims that there is a bias in the media in Great Britain, they say because of race, against Harry and Meghan as opposed to Will and Kate Middleton.
I've heard that stated as fact, although I hear fake accusations of racism all the time, so I don't know whether to believe it.
BuzzFeed News put together 20 side-by-side articles where similar stories were covered in completely different ways.
Okay.
Pretty damned interesting and pretty compelling.
Meghan Markle being half or part of her parentage is African-American.
But she's certainly not all white, which right. Great Britain is 90% all white. Great Britain is whiter than Iowa. Did you know that?
I did not.
England is whiter than Iowa.
Huh.
So the Daily Mail covered the wedding. Kate and Will's Incorporated, Duke and Duchess secretly set up companies to protect their brand just like the Beckhams. So they did a story on how they had done some financial maneuvering behind the scenes.
It's an interesting story.
Yeah. Daily Mail did the... Then Harry and Meghan did exactly the same thing. The Daily Mail's version of the story was a right royal cash-in. How Prince Harry and Meghan Markle trademarked over 100 items from hoodies to socks 6 months before they left the monarchy with new empire worth up to a blah, blah, blah. So they did exactly the same thing and was treated in a different way. Daily Mail. Not long to go, pregnant Kate tenderly cradles her baby bump while wrapping up her royal duties ahead of maternity leave. And William confirms she's due any minute now, with pictures of her walking out of buildings holding her baby bump. Same story for Meghan. Why can't Meghan Markle keep her hands off her bump? Experts tackle the question that has got the nation talking. Is it pride, vanity, acting, or a new age bonding technique?
Yeah, I don't know. Find
that compelling? Daily Express. Kate's morning sickness cure. Prince William gifted with an avocado for pregnant Duchess.
That's lovely.
The Express did the exact same story. Meghan Markle's beloved avocado linked to human rights abuse and drought millennial shame.
Well, listen, but that's such a woke headline. The woke, unless they're just complete phonies, so you're telling me the woke crowd that would run that headline are also racists? I don't know. Here's the logical man's objection. If those were the only stories those papers had done about those people, that would be a good side-by-side comparison. But you could pick three things I've said about Bernie and three things I've said about Trump and make the case that I'm a hardcore Bernie supporter and hate Trump. Because I say a lot of things about a lot of things.
They had an article about how Kate Middleton had scented the Abbey where they got married with a special vanilla candle and how it made the smell so good. Mm. Then they had, then Meghan apparently did the same thing, kicking up a stink. Dictatorial bride Meghan wanted air freshener for musty 15th century chapel.
An aggressive scent.
Okay, it's getting a little weird, I grant
you. There's 20 of them all like that.
Huh.
They clearly just have it in for those two. And is it because she's not white? I don't know. I don't have any idea.
Maybe she's not cooperative with the tabloid press in Britain.
That's it. I'll bet that's it. She's not playing the game.
Right.
The other reason why I heard that they were so against, quote-unquote, against her joining the royal family was that she was divorced before. And that was some sort of...
So she's not all white. She's been divorced.
Yeah.
And she's not at all interested in playing the game of... We'll announce where we're going to be, and you show up and take pictures, and I answer questions. I ain't doing that.
Wow.
That actually makes the most sense, that she just doesn't play the game, so they punish.
Joe figured it out.
Harry bought himself a used woman.
What?
Yeah.
What?
She's divorced.
What century was that true?
Well, that's what I'm asking. That's exactly the point I'm trying to illustrate. What do you care?
That reminds me,
she was in a marriage, didn't work out. She's now in one we hope is happy. What do you mean she's not good enough because she got divorced? Please.
We did get this text on the challenge of could you drink 12 beers every day for a month and keep your job? If you can, you can get $1 million from somebody. I've been drinking 12 to 18 beers a day for the last 300 months without fail, and I have kept my job. I'm on my third wife, though, but I would like my $300 million check.
So he's got three used women.
12 to 18 beers a day for the last 300 months.
Well, that's a person with an alcohol problem.
Well, if it's not having any effect on him, is there a problem?
He's run through a couple two-tree marriages.
Well, you'd have to tie them together.
It's a little expensive and inconvenient at best.
Probably a relationship.
Could be. He seems to be hinting there is, but who am I? I don't know the guy. I'm not going to judge.
Exactly.
That's a hell of a lot of beer, though.
We got some funny clips from Trump at a rally, and they made a point on Morning Joe and MSNBC today that nobody on that debate stage is going to be able to compete with that personality.
Mm. And the CNNs and MSNBCs and alphabet networks of the world are all hot to trot on an impeachment breaking story. We'll tell you what's going on, what you probably might want to think about it.
Awesome. All on the way on the Armstrong and Getty Show.